This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. For a free trial and to get 10% off, visit squarespace.com and enter offer code ANDROID at checkout. A better web starts with your website. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 198. Friday, August 15th, 2014. Two to go. And then, because, you know, you can add two to 198, and that would be 200. 200! Kind of a big deal. Alex, don't let me forget that. 200.
Kind of a big deal. Are we going to do something big for our big milestone?
I think we can go ahead and talk about that in a little bit. Or should we talk about it now?
I have it within reach here.
Not yet.
No? Okay.
Welcome to the show. I am Phil Nickinson. That is Alex Dobie.
Hey, everyone.
Did I point the right way? Oh, crap. I had the camera stuck on me again.
Whoops.
Say hi. There you are. Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Hello.
Well said. Jerry Hildenbrand.
You didn't ask anymore, so.
Hello.
Oh, God. They're all robots today. It's going to be one of those shows, apparently.
Nothing to tease like Alex does, so.
Gonna be one of those shows. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. Hi, how are you? If it's your 198th time joining us, wow. Hi, how are you?
You've been here more than I have.
I hope you get out of the institution soon. That's right. I haven't even been here for everyone. You guys did a couple without me.
Yeah, I'm sure we've done a few.
I've missed special editions. I've missed whole months at this point.
Was that Jerry?
I said the best ones are the ones we did without. But I was just.
They were pretty good.
Well, no, that was mean, so I wasn't going to finish saying it.
Oh. I didn't. I remember one, I was working on the M8 review. I forget when the other one was. I don't know.
I think we did one for the G2 or the Note 3.
Those are some device ones we did.
We did two. Yeah, one for the G2, one for the Note 3 on back-to-back weeks.
There was another one that I think I was under embargo for something and feeling kind of lazy, I think.
I don't know. We're in jail.
Sounds about right.
I was in jail. So, what's going on? We're starting to see movement in the Android world. It makes me happy. It makes me excited. And it makes me tired because, wow. the next month or so is going to be insane. Should we just get into it?
Do it.
Where do you want to start? Motorola has scheduled something on September 4th. And it's almost looks like it's going to do, what, like four things? It's kind of insane.
Yeah, and they kind of gave it away in that little teaser thing they were doing. An X phone, a G phone, a watch, which you got to imagine is the 360, and something that you will wear in your ear.
Well then.
All magic.
Sounds like I'm going to be a little busy here, probably. I'm going to that event, by the way, up in Chicago. So that'll be cool.
It's kind of a good thing you ducked out of Viva this year.
Yeah. Chicago, Berlin. I like Berlin. Berlin was fun. But I'm excited for Motorola. We've been talking about that for a long time. I'm not sure if it's going to get me back on the Moto G before the event or not, like full time. But I'm excited for another phone like this because it's really good.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what they can do a year on with the, you know, we've had complaints about the Moto X camera for a long time. That was a big bugbear with that device.
Well, from day one.
Yeah, pretty much. So
I remember I was in New York in a bar after the event, or I think after the briefing. It was me and Eric Zeman from Phone Scoop. We were sitting in a bar killing time, waiting for the party that night to go check that out. And, like, immediately it's just like, ooh, the camera. Mm.
And it looks almost like they're going with a little bit more of a traditional high-end smartphone this time around, I think. It, based on leaks, of course, we don't know anything official about this just yet. But if they are going with a Snapdragon 801, if they're going to have a traditional 5-inch screen, maybe 1080p or whatever, it's going to be interesting to see what they can do in that form factor, where they're not limited by this weird CPU that they had last year. If they can get really great performance out of that and the features that we love from the Moto X, and build up to maybe what we've been seeing in some of the leaks, which is perhaps a more sort of premium material design, and address the camera, then please do that. I will buy that phone.
Don't screw it up, Motorola. Screw it up.
I think it's going to be good. I'm poised to be plenty excited.
So my thing is, Motorola, they've always put a lot of emphasis behind the stock Google experience, right? And we have a phone from them launching probably sometime in September, a month out from the new version of Android. And I know they've had a lot of emphasis as well on getting fast updates out, but it's also been kind of fragmented between carriers and especially between countries. So you've got to imagine and you've got to wonder what's going to happen when they release a phone that's presumably KitKat in September and, you know, when L lands in October or November, what they have on their phone is going to look very, very old, very, very fast. So hopefully they've ironed out some of the differences between carriers and hopefully they can push out things a lot more consistently when L lands on their new device.
We'll see. That's just crazy talk. We were fine up until that point.
Have I just deflated everyone's enthusiasm for the X2 or the X Plus One?
I can't find my Moto X.
Really?
Really. I'm afraid I left it in a hotel last night.
Jerry?
I'm going to cry.
Do I need to send you one of mine?
No. No, I need to find mine.
You just shout, okay, Google Now, find my phone.
Yeah.
Okay, Google Now.
Nothing. Sorry.
I'll have to have my wife check the car. All right, back to the podcast. Sorry, I just freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was always the camera, and it was always... It's not that it feels slow, but there's just always something about it that just not quite as fast as what we're using. I mean, obviously, it's different hardware. One thing we haven't really talked a lot about, I mean, and Alex was kind of getting into it there, is the software. And just the tweaks Motorola has made are so, and I don't want to call them lightweight, but they almost are, right? Like, it's some of the only manufacturer software we've seen that doesn't, A, screw it up, and B, it just doesn't get in the way at all.
And a lot of it's so lightweight, it's been broken out into Play Store apps as well now. So,
yeah. You know, my thing is, the few changes they've made, at least for me, they made things better.
Every single one of them made things better.
Not just different, but better. So, you know, that's why I say don't screw it up. You're on a roll with one really good thing. Let's keep going.
But I think this year in particular, they live or die by how quickly they get the new release of Android onto it. Like I say, when you have last year's stock Android running on a device, and the target audience for this, the hardcore Android enthusiasts are going to be looking at what's coming in L. And if you don't have a material design on your phone a couple of months into it, like I say, it's going to start looking old. People are going to start looking elsewhere.
Well, presumably they're at least working on getting all those apps like Active Display and Moto Assist and, you know, getting those kind of interfaces and settings interfaces ready with Material Design so they can at least push those out, you know, right away as soon as it's relevant. But, you know, of course, you need the OS to catch up and be the other part.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they're going to be able to do that. I think if you look at there are certain patterns that you can kind of see in phones that are out there right now, like the HTC One, M8, and the G3, that you kind of think maybe the designers there had a bit of a sneak peek at what Google's doing with L. And you talk Motorola is in that same position as well. They've got to know that's an important step forward. And, you know, when you put so much emphasis on having a stock Google UI, you're going to want to have your stuff catch up very quickly with what's next.
Android Device Manager says my Moto X is in my wife's car. Can I press the ring button?
Do it.
Lock it and put a message on the lock screen.
I'm pressing
the ring button. Do it.
Ringing.
I do it.
She'll have no idea how to shut it off. She's going to kill
her. At least it's not an M8.
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Alex, tell me a little more about this weird ear hole thing.
So I had a few theories on that yesterday, and this is something we've really heard nothing about. We've heard plenty leaked about the new Moto X and to a certain extent about the G as well. But my theory about this new sort of thing that goes in your ear, it looks like a Bluetooth earpiece of some description, is that it's essentially an extension of the touchless control features that you have on the Moto X. So maybe it's a wearable that you can activate with your voice that isn't necessarily strapped to your wrist, that's just on you all the time. And like Google Glass, maybe you can just say the keyword and then get into anything that's on your Moto X that you'd normally activate using OK Google Now. So you would imagine maybe, I don't know, checking your calendar or whatever, or maybe even having notifications piped straight from your phone into your ear, that might be quite interesting.
It's still something in your ear, though.
It is, and it's not going to be for everyone, and there's still that stigma with walking around with a Bluetooth earpiece in, looking like a bit of an idiot, but I don't know. I think for a certain type of user and certain use cases, it could be useful. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as glamorous or as mainstream, if you want to say that about a smartwatch, as the Moto 360, but I think it's interesting, and you know, it's something that no one's really tried to do before, and no one besides Motorola is going to have the expertise to do, I think.
What are you thinking, Jerry?
I'm thinking more of, you know, I can put my Moto X in my pocket. It won't work in my wife's car, but it'll work if it was in my pocket, and say, okay, Google Now, you know, ask about a calendar appointment.
Then I heard that.
Another one going off. It'll show me that on the screen, but what's to stop them from making a device that will play that back in my ear instead of me pulling my phone out to look?
That's what I was thinking. If you before you would always have to have your phone out to get the feedback, and even if you were doing it on a watch, you'd have to look at the watch because the watch doesn't have a speaker to talk back to you.
Right.
So you're having this thing in your ear, almost Google Glass-like, where you can ask questions to Google Now or ask questions of your phone and have the feedback immediately pipe straight into your ear. That could be quite interesting, I think.
It's not something I would ever use, but...
No, me neither.
You know, there are people out there who are way busier than we are and might find benefit to it.
I mean, I guess maybe the use case might be driving, or if you're out running or something, maybe that might... be somewhere where you want that kind of feature?
If they, you know, maybe it's not so much a special device as a special feature. I would love for that to work with Bluetooth in my car.
Maybe.
You know, take it a step further than it works now. You know, maybe they will, if we're even right, and that's a big if, you know, they'll probably have a piece of their own hardware, but if they make it work with hardware you already have, that's cool.
I think some people in the comments in that article were talking about maybe a fitness angle to it as well, maybe sort of pulse tracking, that kind of thing. Again, possible. We'll have to wait and see.
Yep, and if you know, if your heart rate gets too low to make you step it up, it shocks you right in your ear.
We'll see. I don't know.
Or it could be nothing, and we're just dreaming because we want it to be so much. It could just be nothing.
No. It's something. And I mean, Motorola has a long track record of Bluetooth devices and actually really good headsets. And, you know, we need to do a new thing on all that. I think it's been a long time. Great. I got something for Jerry to do next week.
I'll have a Bluetooth headset in each ear.
I tell you, I mean, if it keeps people from... talking on the phone in the car, holding their phones, I'm all for it.
Or looking at a watch in a car, just as distracting.
Yes. Yeah, I know we talked about that last week. To me, that's worse.
I cannot not look at that damn thing.
I'm real close to putting my Pebble back on. Just to keep me from, you know, messing with it in the car.
Yesterday was a great example. I'm driving down the highway, and every time my wrist vibrates, I want to see what you guys said.
Right.
And it's just temptation to look.
Some people I know on Twitter, I don't want to out them because they're actually in a competing space with Motorola, but we're bringing up a good point. Actually, it's something we brought up, I think, before about the Moto 360, and that is, hey, it's still just Android Wear on a round watch, right? I mean, we know, you know, we all have our complaints about Android Wear software at this point, and is making it round going to fix any of that? And I think we've all kind of agreed that no, it's not. But again, just something to keep in mind as we finally get close to wearing this thing. Now, do you think we're going to see new software alongside this? Because we haven't seen any like major-ish Android Wear updates in the... I mean, how many months? August? Yeah, all right, so it's been two months, basically. Yeah.
I tried to find that out.
Yeah.
Either nobody I know knows the answer, or they just don't want to tell me and they're laughing at me.
Right.
But that would make sense. There's a reason that if this was delayed, and well, you looked at it. You got an even closer look at Google I/O than I did. It seemed ready, didn't it? It seemed as ready as the other two.
They said it was final hardware, right? And it's not like the software wasn't final because we were using it on two other watches.
So why the 2.5 month delay?
Yeah, I mean, any number of reasons, right? It could just be business-wise, they weren't ready for it, or they wanted LG and Samsung to, or you know, or agreed to give LG and Samsung the head start with it. Who knows?
I mean, but I want to hope that it's because they want to give us something new.
Maybe.
That will be backported into the watches we already have. If the Moto 360 comes out with its own unique features that the G-Watch and the Gear Live don't get, I'll be pretty pissed. That's not fair.
But you got to imagine if they're doing new software in September, why not just wait until the L release? That's just another month probably until you have that. I don't know. I think it's probably more like you guys were saying with exclusivity, maybe they agreed to give it to Samsung and LG. They were the initial partners that they were working with. I think with a line of devices that's that new, it's maybe a little bit difficult to read anything too much into that.
Damn it, let me dream, Dobie.
We'll see. I like to think they're going to surprise us with something. I think. That's my... I will put $5 on it.
I just hope they give each of y'all one of those little cootie catchers so you can ask it questions and flip it back. That's the name of that little paper toy that I couldn't think of yesterday.
Brendan in the Q&A says, Google I.O. attendees have until midnight September 5th to respond on whether or not they want a Moto 360. Do you think that says anything about the release date of the Moto 360? Yes.
Yeah, I think that says everything about it.
That's not, don't have to read a lot between the lines.
They wouldn't really hand them out to, if the watch wasn't coming out very soon.
And that's also the day after the event in Chicago, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, here's exactly what it says. I've got the email sitting in front of me. Please make sure the email address you provide is the same one we sent this message to. Use the same name. The deadline for providing your address is midnight Pacific time, September 5th. So, yeah, I mean, yes. That's on rocket science on that one, I think. Denny says, the Moto 360 just looks like a better designed smartwatch overall. I agree.
Yep, I think that's going to be the biggest draw. They can't fix everything on the software overnight, but that is a big advantage they will have over the Gear Live and the G-Watch.
I think at some point in the next week or two, I want us to do a post just like, here's what we think the price is going to be, and then whoever's wrong, we will make fun of them for a while.
Am I the only one in the world that just loves the way the Gear Live fits on my wrist?
Yes. No, I mean, I just didn't like it as much.
Well, it seems like it seems like nobody cares for the square design at all, and the people that are okay with the square design much prefer the LG G-Watch over the Gear Live. And I tried it, and I don't see it. The Gear Live, the way it's curved, it just works really good, and I think it's probably the watch I'm going to continue to use even after I get the 360.
Here's the point where we remind Jerry that everybody's body is different.
I know. I know.
God. No, there's nothing wrong with like. I mean, we act like there's something wrong with the G Watch and the Gear Live, and there's not. They're perfectly fine.
That's what I was alluding to.
Yeah.
I don't think it's so much the problem with the square design. It's just the way that it looks, right? They're basically just smartphone style designs on your wrist, and that's not the right way to design a good looking watch.
Yeah.
Me and my Gear Live will go back in my hole. I love you, Gear Live. I'll shut up.
Finally found out who's been calling my phone all day.
Was it me?
That makes me happy. No.
Okay.
Anything else on the Samsung stuff? On the Moto stuff?
The phone. We've seen, benchmarks that supposedly give away the specs and all this stuff. A lot of people are equating that to the next Nexus. And we have to remember that even if the next Nexus is a Motorola product, these are two very separate devices. We're not going to be seeing anything Nexus on the 4th, the 3rd, whatever it is.
No. That goes back to we haven't seen another company outside of Google announced Nexus stuff since the GNX in Hong Kong, and even that was kind of weird. So,
right.
No, just squash that. What else is going on in the Q&A? Because I love the Q&A. Ryan asked, does Motorola need to play the size and spec war game in order to better compete? No.
I hope they don't cave into
but
it.
No,
they
yes. did
that last year.
They don't. They shouldn't, but they have to if compete means sell more product. And I hate that.
I get. I still think so much of it comes down to point of sale and your position in the store and the education of the people selling the phones and just all this stuff that has nothing to do with how good the phone itself is.
I want to bring back to something else quickly because we had the Moto G last year and it was very much just a run-of-the-mill stock Android phone. You didn't really have much of the fancy stuff from the Moto X. And I think maybe the device that people are overlooking here, the next Moto G, which by all accounts is probably coming September 4th as well, the most interesting thing about that is going to be how much of last year's Moto X features they can now bring to a lower-end device, because that's going to make that stuff much, much more attainable for a lot of people.
Yep, if they could take the current Moto X and just slap the Moto G label and price point, you know, on something very, very similar, that's one awesome phone for under $200.
I mean, look at how cheaply they've been happy to sell the Moto X for $299 already. So,
there's a lot to wait and see.
I'm excited. All right, I want to move on because we have other crazy news stuff. Oh, actually, I want to look at the Q&A one more time. Did I miss anything else good? Josh says, I keep throwing money at my screen, but no Moto 360. Do you think they're releasing after September 4th?
Yes. You haven't thrown enough money at the screen yet. It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, no, it's. I think they're going to release it very quickly after that, probably.
Yeah, I agree.
We're stuffing the earpiece. It's not 360. It's more like 274. Get over it. Yes, it has that little black thing down at the bottom. No, it's not. If it bothers you, that's on you.
I mean, the Moto X isn't shaped like the letter X. I don't know about
that. There's nothing you can do about that, and it didn't bother me in the slightest.
There's a good reason why that's there. Yeah. That's there so you can have sensors on the front, so you have auto brightness, and that is a really important feature, as we've seen from the watches that don't have it, just being really annoying to use in direct sunlight.
Even more than that, it's so the display works. You have to.
So there's not a huge on the outside of the display.
Yeah, there's. Go back and find the. It was a video that I did around the G Flex last year, the LG G Flex, and it was the display panel. And you can see how it works, right? It's got this little, basically a core that plugs into it and runs with the boards. So like that has to plug in somewhere. It doesn't just magically appear up from the bottom of it.
You know, I mean, if it's a cord, it can plug in at any angle, surely.
Just saying, here's how they work, Alex. That's why it's there.
But you don't have to have it on the same plane. You got three dimensions to work with, especially in a watch.
Not much of a Z stack on these things.
Maybe.
So anyway, that's why it's there. Get over it. It's not like, you know, you're going to say, I don't like that, and they're going to magically remove it for you. So get over it, I say.
Embrace it, I'd say.
Yes.
Look at my awesome round watch with it. Cut square at the bottom.
Should we do an ad or should we move on? Let's do the ad.
Do the ad.
Let us talk about Squarespace. I love Squarespace. It is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. And if you remember, it was almost a year ago. I very quickly needed to make a website for my wife to use, and by the end of the night I had it done. And I'm not a tech, I'm not a techie person, I'm not a code person. I can do just enough HTML to get us in trouble, and from time to time you'll see that at Android Central. But Squarespace, and this was long before we started talking about them on this podcast, right? But that's what I use for my personal blog and stuff. Very, very simple, easy design, drag and drop stuff. They can help you set up a URL, you know, get your domain. 24/7 support. It's awesome. Plans start at $8 a month. Very, very affordable. Free domain name if you sign up for a full year. Do it. It is awesome. You can start a trial with no credit card. Start building your website immediately. And if you go to squarespace.com/android and use offer code Android, you will get 10% off your first purchase. So that's 10% off. I'm not going to do the math in my head. That's just dangerous. Squarespace.com. Use offer code Android. We thank them for their support of Android Central. And you will help make a better web. And it starts with your website. So check it out. And now we shall check out the Samsung Galaxy Alpha. What is this, Alex? Is this the Prime?
Not really. I mean,
back up. The Prime was just a made-up name by people who knew something was coming, but not really, right?
Well, I mean, probably spend like 15 minutes explaining what the Galaxy S5 Prime was, but basically there was a Galaxy S5 Prime, people think, that was cancelled, and it got split off into all these different things, one of which is out now in Korea, the Galaxy S5 Broadband LTE-A. Catchy name. All that aside for a second, the Galaxy Alpha now is the long-rumored Metal Galaxy phone. So we've been hearing rumors about this since back in the Galaxy S3 days that Samsung was working on this kind of thing. It's basically a 4.7-inch squared-off metal-banded device. I don't think they're saying which kind of metal. It's just a metal-banded device. It's still got a plastic battery door. Aluminium.
Thank you.
There, you happy?
Yes.
Okay, they got a metal band, it's some kind of metal, removable battery, all that good stuff. And it does look kind of like an iPhone, which some people are freaking out about. It's got that kind of, it's a rectangle with a metal band is what people are getting. I mean, look, in some of the pictures it does look kind of iPhone-esque. I think once you get it in hand, there are going to be differences, which, you know, holding the two side by side, you're probably not going to confuse them, but that narrative has been established of Samsung copying Apple, so that's an argument that comes up straight away. And of course, there's the fact that everyone's expecting a 4.7-inch iPhone in the next month, so that's the obvious competitor to that, alongside the Note, which is going to be the 5.7.
Wait. If there's a 4.7-inch iPhone, then does the iPhone look like a Samsung phone?
Maybe. I mean, people will say that Samsung copied Apple because Samsung knew it was coming through the leaks. I mean, that's, you know, you get into these cyclical arguments there that don't really make a lot of sense. But,
right.
I mean, I care less about who copies who and just who makes the best phone. I think it's going to be interesting to see this new chip of Samsung's that they announced with a new process that's more energy efficient. More interesting to see what Samsung can do with premium materials. We really haven't seen them do much with metal in the smartphone space. By the look of the specs, it looks like a decent high-end smartphone, just in a smaller kind of space.
Well, I think Samsung's confident in it because they made a thin phone with a very small, speaking for the rest of the phones today, a small battery in it.
They also dropped resolution to 720p, which will help with that too.
I mean, they dropped it. I guess they dropped it from the S5, but
yeah,
you got to remember it's still over 300 PPI, which is...
Oh, yeah, there's no problem with 720p at 4.7 inches, just as we cover with the Moto X.
When I saw it yesterday morning, the first thing I thought was, well, this looks like a Samsung phone that I'm going to really like. I like that size, and I really want to check it out. I'm excited about this one.
The conspiracy theorist in me is required to note that this comes kind of on the heels of Samsung and Apple quieting their patent wars, not completely dropping them. They're not like hugging it out yet, but is that just coincidence? Does it matter?
I don't know if it matters, but that's neat to think about.
I mean, it's certainly an interesting timing that is going on there. On the other hand, phones take more than a few weeks or a few months to create.
The
Alpha that's being announced now is would have been in development for probably months, if not a year or so.
Developing something and announcing and releasing it are two very different things, though. Something that's developed all the time that never sees the light of day.
You think they may have been holding it, and now with the tension relaxed a little bit, they feel that they can release it without any trouble?
That is my conspiracy theory. Does it really matter? Maybe. Yes, no.
I don't know. I'm blogging it because Phil said it.
I just think that Samsung's never shied away from having lots of different models that are aimed at specific markets with different looks and feels and price points and everything like that. You know, if this didn't have metal around the outside, would you be thinking that?
We've been screaming for a small to mid-size premium smartphone. Samsung gives us one, and here we are with conspiracy theory.
I know, right?
Right. I mean, at the same time, Samsung has just straight up refused to keep paying Microsoft for using Android at the same time. I don't think that has anything to do with this either. So I think it's a coincidence, sure, but I'm not sure that there's that big. I mean, this isn't launching alongside the S5 as, they're leading.
True. But I think you've got to look at what's next from Apple. You've got to realize that releasing something now and releasing the Note in early September, surely those are the two devices they're going to pick against both sizes of iPhone. There's no way that's not going to happen.
Nope. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't happen, we're going to force it as tech bloggers.
Yep, that's what we do.
Hey, the numbers match up.
It's going to happen whether they want it to or not, right?
Hmm.
All right, so what's going on with Samsung? We have the September 3rd event, right?
We have a September 3rd event, which is in New York, Berlin, and Beijing. And actually, we had a kind of interesting teaser site in Chinese from Samsung this week where they flat out said, okay, Note 4 is coming September 3rd. So, you know, we know the name of that. We know when it's coming now, if there was any doubt. They're going to announce the Note 4 at the same event where they announced the Note 1, 2, and 3. So there's that.
Any crazy, you know, I keep saying Motorola is going to throw us a curveball and do something really cool. What kind of pie-in-the-sky stuff do you think Samsung could drop on us?
Dude, you know there's going to be something. This is Samsung. They will do something cool.
I mean, we saw the leaks. I think it was The Verge this week, pictures of the that VR headset. Supposedly they're working on Oculus with something to do with that. So that's been rumored for IFA as well. I have to wait and see. They always do something beyond just a Note at these IFA events. Last year they had new tablets. And, of course, the original Galaxy Gear. The year before they had some Windows stuff. So it's not just going to be Note, I think.
Fair enough. Well, we'll be there in Berlin. I will be there in New York. It's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun. Might even be singing and dancing.
From Samsung or from you?
Maybe both. I've been known to sing and dance on occasion. Don't tell my wife. Because I swear I don't dance. My kids are always trying to get me to dance. You should go dance with mommy. I don't dance. When I do, I don't dance well, so there's that, too.
See, you had to throw the dance well part in there.
Well, you know, I got to qualify these things a little bit. what else shall we talk about? You Q&A guys got anything more on Samsung?
Lars writes, what are your thoughts on the 805 in the LG? I think he's talking about the G3 Cat 6, which we reviewed today. Disappointed or impressed? I mean, it's kind of a simple explanation. I mean, it is literally just a faster G3. You can see the potential of this chip when you're running a 2K display off it. You know, in benchmarks where you look at stuff that's limited by the CPU, you know, you get a little bit of an improvement. But really, when you play games where you run graphically intensive stuff, you can tell that the new GPU, the Adreno 420, is just you know, better suited to that higher resolution, and that shows. Whether the average consumer would notice, I'm not sure, but when you got the two side by side, the difference is noticeable, I think.
Fair enough. I mean, just kind of the natural evolution, right?
Pretty much.
We all agree that both phones kind of came out at a weird time a little bit, right?
Both phones, you mean?
The G3 and the GS5 kind of came out in a weird time in the life cycle of those processors, because the 805 had just been announced and...
A little bit, and there's still not a whole lot. I mean, people say, why didn't LG put the 805 in all the G3s? Well, they wanted to release it at the end of May. The 805, you know, nothing had the 805 back then, and you've got to imagine the chip's still very new. Supply issues are going to happen. If you want to release a phone globally, that's going to be difficult. You know, you look at the 805 now, nothing outside of Korea has it, so that's going to change soon. But looking back and saying, well, LG should have shipped this with the 805 2 months ago, well, that just wouldn't have been possible.
Timing stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the OnePlus One? Somebody said we should.
We have to.
I want to say all kind of things.
Well, it was one of you guys who told me we had to, so I kind of don't have it. I've got it over here somewhere. I kind of don't have anything else to say. It's still a really nice phone that you can't buy. And after this week's marketing shenanigans, I really kind of don't want to talk about it as a company anymore. If you want to buy one and you get an invite, by all means do it. It's a nice phone. It's still big for me. I don't want a phone that big, but it is really, really nice, and the battery life's kind of ridiculous, like very ridiculous. I just don't want to promote Oppo as a company anymore. And by the way, I can't believe Jerry reminded me of, yes, it's Oppo. Never mind that they say it's not. And Jerry, remind me why.
OnePlus Plus One, OPPO. That's the part that just drives it home to me. It's...
I mean, I don't care. Like,
no.
I could care less about the politics behind that. I do not care about that. And I'm more concerned that they're just doing stupid marketing stuff.
Oppo makes some great electronics, and I don't understand why you wouldn't want to stand on the rooftops and say this is made by Oppo, the people who make some of the best DVD players with the best sound in the world. And I think I understand why. It's because they want to play games like, look, we're a cool little startup, have a contest where you smash your phone.
But it backfires. It backfires backfired this week, and like the phone test. You go into that kind of...
You're okay now. Go.
Okay.
Continue rant.
You stopped me mid-rant. Yeah, if you do that, you need to do it well. You need to work out. You need to be very careful not to get stuck in this trap where you know, you fall victim to these pitfalls of marketing, whether it's an ill-timed and insensitive and probably quite sexist marketing campaign, or whether it's something that just wasn't really thought through very well with a smash your phone campaign. So I think the idea is a good one. Here's this separate brand that we're going to launch that's targeted mainly at tech enthusiasts in the West. Just the execution and the timing of it, and the fact we still have this stupid invite system, it's just gone off the rails a little bit, I think, for them.
I wouldn't be complaining nearly as much if you could just buy the phone.
And, you know, I'm not upset that they want to try neat and different things to raise public awareness of their phone. I think it's great that somebody in their marketing department is thinking of, let's hold some sort of contest that'll get people excited and talk more about the phone.
And get us talking about it. Yeah.
Right. I think that's great. And you know, that's a good way to get organic, you know, word of mouth advertising. It just seems like the few times that they try it, they just went the wrong way. And I don't know whether to feel sorry for them or be upset with them.
And you can do a contest that says, hey, this one's for the lady. I mean, you remember back when we had, we used to have listeners do the intro to this podcast, right?
Right.
And one week I said, you know what? We never have any women do it. I want to hear the women do it. You know, so send in your stuff. You know, what I didn't say was, I want to hear the women introduce the podcast, but try not to use your sexy voice. You know, that's what this latest one felt like. Send us your pictures, but don't get naked because we know you're all waiting to get naked in pictures. And it's like, no. Well, and I get why they said it, you know, because they didn't want nudity and all this stuff in their forum where you're going to post this. I get that. But just the way it was done was just one more nail in that coffin.
When you as a company are acting as cocky as OnePlus has in the lead up to all this, any pitfall that you fall victim to is just going to be perceived as all the more worse.
It's, you know, it wasn't even the cockiness, because I've been accused of that once or twice in my life. I get that. It was just like, sell the phone. It is such a good phone. You know, I haven't used CyanogenMod software in forever, but it's still really good. Does it not have Do Not Disturb in it? Did I just miss that? Somebody want to educate me a little? You know, it's really interesting to use that again. I love seeing CMM on, you know, production phones like that, where you don't have to hack it on. And hugely important thing, and to just see it all jacked up with these stupid stunts just pisses me off. That's all it is.
I think Alex nailed it. If they weren't showing all the competitors and just telling the world how much better they are and how much everybody else sucks, would we have been so hard on them when they did something stupid? Probably not. Because everybody does stupid stuff. Lord knows I do. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know whether to feel sorry for their marketing department or be mad at them, and that's neither is a good thing.
Yeah. What else is going on? Looks like Sprint's going to get the HTC One E8. They had a video up for a little while today. It is no longer up. Whoops.
It took a while to get rid of that one, too.
I did email Sprint and be like, hey, did I miss an announcement? And haven't heard back, so...
Puzzled me a little bit. Everybody wanted to remind me that it's got Sprint proper branding on it. Mm-hmm. Man, that phone on Virgin Mobile or Boost would actually attract customers, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I still just felt like the E8 was too high end. I think that would be more like a Desire 816 kind of level down on the Boost and Virgin. I mean, E8 is still close enough to the M8 that, you know, you see phones a lot lower end than the E8 selling on contracts.
Sprint already has two models of M8 they're trying to sell. Why throw another one into the mix?
I think that Sprint's going to do anything. They'll try anything pretty much at this point.
You're mean. You're a fanboy. I read it on the internet.
Oh, hey, you know what we forgot to talk about was The Verge got that scoop of what looks like I hate calling it VR because I don't really think it's VR when all it is when it's like the stereoscopic thing. You know, people are comparing it to the Google Cardboard thing from I.O. What do you guys think of this? I almost hesitate to say what I think.
My thing is, if you look at, supposedly they're working with Oculus on it, and the current Oculus developer hardware, the screen is literally a Galaxy Note 3 screen. Like, it's the actual same panel with the Samsung logo and the cutout for the buttons and everything. So if they're doing that in their current developer hardware, then it's not so much a big step to just have something that you slot, a Note 4 into with either the same size screen or a higher resolution version of that or whatever. And the experience can be the same, whether it's hooked up to something else that does all the number crunching or whether the Note 4 is actually powerful enough to run all that stuff on the device itself. It makes sense for Samsung in terms of their partnership with Oculus. And, you know, it's something they've got the money to put behind. And maybe they've got the developer backing as well, because, of course, they're still king of the Android manufacturers.
Is this a thing I need in any way, shape, or form?
That depends. If they have software that gives you a reason to want to strap 4 pounds of plastic and silicone to your face and lose contact with the outside world, then yes.
I don't think anyone makes software that...
But somebody's got to. I mean, from what I've seen, I've seen two demos for the original Oculus, and it's really, really cool. But it's not something that the consumer is just going to want.
It's not mass market. Right. The Note is very quickly become a mass market device. And the problem maybe for Samsung is going to be that crossover between Note owners and, you know, hardcore gamers who are going to be interested in Oculus and the Oculus Rift. So I don't know how they'll maybe bridge that gap. It's going to be interesting to see if they can do that.
Yeah, I mean, is this just going to be a tech demo of, you know, look at how powerful the Note 4 is. It can handle all of this computation to do, bring in all the sensors and all that, and then it gets relegated down to the same level of, you know, Samsung sells a Bluetooth game controller, and they also sell this headset thing that you can strap your Note 4 into and put on your face.
If Samsung sells this VR headset with no compelling software that's going to make anyone buy it, they're going to hit the same problem that Google did with Google Glass. Now, granted, Google Glass never said that this was consumer ready, but here you have something that's different, and I don't mean just because they both go on your eyes. You have something that's really different, but there's no real compelling software. There's no thing that's going to make you say, oh, wow, this is so cool, I need to use it every day. It's going to be, well, that looks kind of neat. Why the heck would I want it? I'm not buying that crap.
I could tell you what software needs to do to get me to strap something like that onto my face, but I don't think I can do it on the radio, you know,
and
what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean, and that's one place that they won't look into, but they should.
Well, no, that's not what I meant. But
okay.
Jerry took that a little more literally than I meant. No, I mean, Google Glass is one thing. It's relatively small for what it does. This and what we've seen in this leak, and again, it's, you know, a leak and nothing's official till it's official, but it's just like, if you want me putting anything like that anywhere near my head, I'm going to need a really compelling reason to do so. And maybe it's not a consumer thing, I don't know, but
I think the glass comparison maybe is a little
sort
of wrong-headed. Glass is a totally different kind of device. It's a wearable sort of assistant type notification thing. This is an entertainment device.
I simply meant there's no reason to use either if they don't develop one.
Well, like any gaming device, like any entertainment device, it'll live or die by the software or by the games that support it or that don't. If they can get something on the Note like they've got with multi-window that can bring in other applications into their world and say, okay, for the vast majority of games that run on OpenGL or whatever, we can just do this automatically, which would be difficult but not impossible, then that, you know, might have legs to it. But if you're relying on Samsung to have to work with every developer in the world to get support for this onto this VR thing, then that's going to be a tricky process and it's going to be a barrier to adoption.
It's nuts.
Leisure Suit Larry 2014. Sold. I'll buy one.
Scott says, the phrase, okay, Google now. I did it. You can be banned from the podcast. I can't watch an Android Central podcast without okay, Google now being activated at least once. Well, Scott, I can officially, on behalf of everyone here at Android Central, I think, apologize for using the phrase, okay, Google now, so often during the podcast. And in fact, in future Android Central podcasts, we will refrain from using the phrase, okay, Google now, quite so often. I just set off like 13 devices on my desk, by the way.
You're a monster.
Wait, you? Zoloft and a drink. Wow, what does this say? Zoloft and drink a cast affect future Android Central podcast, we will. That's awesome. You guys,
dude, send that to me as a text. A drink with Zoloft in it.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm glad Zoloft's got into your keyboard dictionary.
Before we, I want to close out with some more Q&A, but Alex, break out the funk.
Oh.
We almost forgot about it. That would have been bad.
There it is. Let me...
Alex is unboxing it. So HTC announced the HTC One M8 Funk Studio Edition, which is this really cool, or not, depending on your point of view, I guess. I think it's cool as hell. Etched, carved, artistic. Just keep talking, Alex, and show it in the video.
Here we go. So, yeah, it has this unique sort of etched design on the back. Looks very cool. We actually have boxed... there are 64 in existence. We have number one here, which is very cool.
Number one.
Number one, yep. So there might be a way that you could get hold of this at some point if you listen to this podcast. Just saying. It's the HTC One. They partnered with this design group out of Singapore, I think, to come up with this new design on the back of the M8. They also have a wallpaper that they've brought out for other devices. And yeah, it is a very exclusive, very cool-looking HTC One M8.
No, we are absolutely giving it away. We need to find a cool way to do it.
Yep.
I think we will do something very soon and probably announce it on our 200th show in a couple weeks. Give me the weekend to figure that out, and we'll come up with something really cool to do. That's awesome. Thank you, HTC. There are a few other sites giving them out. I'm trying to remember the names off. I can look it up real quick.
I think it was The Verge.
Techno Buffalo.
Gadget has one.
Here comes the list. You ready?
Yep.
Us, Engadget, MKBHD, Marquez Brownlee, Pocket Lint, Techno Buffalo, and The Verge. And us.
So only one of those has number one, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Unless they all have number one.
We've got number one.
But I think we have number one, which is awesome. So stay tuned. Monday we'll announce something. Because the 2 weeks after that are going to be insane. Let's just start from the bottom with Q&A. I'm going to start at the bottom. You guys think we're going to see the Note Edge series here in the U.S.? Maybe. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the rumor was, I think it's based off a trademark filing, which is always kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. Supposedly, it's meant to tie into this rumor of a curved Note, which in itself may or may not be something that you want. So when I played with the Galaxy Round a few months back at CES, nice phone. I don't necessarily see why I would choose a round display in that sort of form factor over just a plain old squared-off Galaxy Note.
Beto, I hope I said that right, says, hello, Moto HK has photos of the new Moto X front panel. I've seen those, and it looks like the front of a smartphone. And beyond that, don't know what to tell you. I've seen those before. I want the whole thing.
Do we want to talk quickly about Zoe? Because that launched this week, HTC's photo video sharing app thing.
Yeah, I'm still kind of... People were driving me nuts about it. It's very much in beta.
Yep.
Works on the M8, the Nexus 5, the GS5, What else? Supposedly works with the Note 3 out of the box. I haven't tested that. I couldn't download it on the G3 yesterday, though. The reason I thought I could is because I'd forgotten I'd sideloaded it. Because when we were doing our, you know, early testing for all of 24 hours, we had to sideload it because that's how they sent it to us. It's think Instagram for HTC's video highlights, which still aren't Zoe's, but they still have a big nomenclature problem with all this, I think.
Right, and it's a shame because it's cool. It's really cool. And you don't even know how to tell anybody about it because who knows what it's really called.
It's still more difficult to actually make these things. You know, the Zoe feature is different than it used to be, and it's still like tucked in extra. Like, it's kind of a big pain.
And it doesn't help that what Zoe means has actually changed in the year and a half that Zoes have existed. It used to be the little video things. Then that changed to Zoe Camera, and there was the Zoe app. Now video highlights were Zoe video highlights. Now they're just Zoes, and it's just like you don't see the glossary to keep up with this stuff.
Andy asks, who's going to IFA? That'd be Alex, Richard, and Derek Kessler.
Yep, it's going to be busy. Just looking at our schedule here, what I can say is all of the companies will be announcing all of the things.
Yes.
In a two-day period, pretty much.
Yep. Is Sprint going to be able to rebound with their new CEO? Ask Denny.
He's saying the right things, but every CEO says the right things their first week on the job when they don't have any restrictions put on them about the realities of running a company.
And we'll see. I mean, supposedly they're going to announce some pretty cool rate plan stuff next week.
Yeah, so, I mean, he said our network isn't good enough for the prices that we're charging, so we have to drop our prices first and then make the network better, which is kind of weird because it's easy to drop prices, but it's not easy to raise them back up again after you've spent a bunch of money improving your network. So
yeah, it's not easy to pump money into doing that if your income's less in the meantime.
Right, and it's just kind of a weird situation. And he also said that job cuts are going to be, you know, they're going to be trimming employees and things like that to, you know, bring Sprint out of the red. But these are long term things.
Any chance Mobile Nations will have a site dedicated to Chrome OS and Chromebooks? Asks Terrence. And somebody else was complaining it's Android Central and not Chrome Central. To which I say, we'll write what we want. I don't know. I don't know if we need to make a dedicated site yet. I mean, we could.
I'm not sure if it's entirely... Go ahead, Jerry.
We talked about that at length, Phil. Let's not...
Sure.
And we could build a Chrome OS website and you few people that really, really care would join us there and we'd have a lot of fun. Or we can talk about it on Android Central where people who need to know and want to know and don't know where to look will just find it.
And I think that's going to become even more important with this weird, not merging, but when Android L comes out, you're going to be able to run Android stuff on Chrome OS. And I'm still not entirely sure how that works. I need to read up more on that, I guess. I have no problem with the amount of Chrome stuff we write.
Yeah.
We may write more in the future. Yeah. Don't yell at us and tell us it's not Chrome Central.
We know that.
We think it's cool.
Yeah.
More to the point, when they do bring out this Android app runtime or whatever it is on Chrome OS, suddenly every Chromebook becomes an Android laptop.
Yep.
That's entirely possible. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to writing a bunch of words about it. So you've been warned.
And the good thing is that we're getting more acquainted with Chrome OS before that happens. So, you know, we're not learning everything all at once. You know, we use these things every day now.
Back to HTC Zoe for HTC Zoe for a second. Where'd it go? I had the question. It disappeared. There it is. Trevin asked, what are your opinion on making it available in Google Play? I mean, that in and of itself isn't that big a deal. I mean, Motorola has tons of its apps. I mean, the big deal is that they're making it available to other devices.
Right.
And HTC flat out said, look, I mean, it's super important for other people to be able to use this stuff. And it's actually pretty cool. I made a video highlight right there on the G3 using pictures that were on the G3. You know, if you want to do something more with your software, yeah, you got to open it up to more places. Do I need to use that versus the stories that Google Plus is doing? Well, they're very two different things. Start with that, I guess. But I'm starting to think more in terms of at what point does HTC, I mean, they're still a really good hardware company, but at what point are they also known for being a software company? Not just for the software on their devices, but software for everybody.
And that's what they're trying to get into with this HTC Creative Labs thing. That I think they're not some, well, I guess they kind of are distancing it from HTC a little bit. They're trying to set it up on its own as kind of a, you know, a software firm, if you like.
Right.
And you go to Zowie.com, you know, HTC bought Zowie.com, which cannot have been cheap. You go on there, what do you see demoing this new app? Not an HTC phone, but a Nexus 5. The only HTC reference on there is in the legal speak down at the bottom. So they are trying to set this up as its own thing.
It's going to be real interesting to see what happens with that over the next like 8, 10, 12 months. Yeah.
And HTC is good at software, guys.
Yep.
We may not realize, you know, how good they are because, well, they just write software for a phone. But you look at the strides they've been able to make with their Android builds. There's somebody there who's really damn good.
They're really good at software. They're really good at hardware. They have business stuff they got to fix still. In and out or Five Guys? Five Guys.
Only in or out.
In and out for you?
I don't know. I don't have either around here, I don't think.
Aluminum or aluminium? Aluminum or aluminium? Asked Adam. It probably depends on which one of us you're asking. More questions about the 360 and Qi charging. Do you think the phones will have wireless charging? Got a couple questions on that.
Hope so.
I hope so. Whether it will, I don't know.
Yeah, I would have more faith in that if they were going to come out with a combined charger for both the phone and the watch. As it stands, if they have that strange-looking stand thing, maybe they might just do it in the watch and not the phone. We'll have to wait and see. I hope they do. I think that would be a good feature of them too.
That would be really cool, actually, if they had one charger for all these things.
And then it lets Motorola trot out a new Qi charger, and they could do all kinds of custom colors and things with like that with the chargers too.
Doesn't your Qualcomm Talk charge a Bluetooth headset as well?
I don't know if they ever actually released those ear. Yeah, there were supposed to be these weird earbuds, and I don't know if they ever actually released them.
But, you know, if they wanted to do something like that and build a charger that could charge all their new gear, that's entirely possible.
That would be very cool. I'm trying to see if they ever actually released that. The Talk was not a bad, it was a different watch. But yeah, they had these weird ear. Where do I buy this? I don't even know if you can still buy it. Don't know. A couple more.
I got one from Ryan Boyle.
Yes.
Ryan says, it appears the Moto 360 has a metal back and Qi wireless charging. But I was under the impression from Android news sites that a metal case prevents phones like the M8 from having wireless charging. Can metal phones have wireless charging? Yes. It's not going to be easy. Wireless charging is just two magnetic fields that work against each other and with each other at the same time. And when you add metal to magnetism, things get tricky and you have to use the right kind of metal with the right thickness. But it certainly can be done. Because it's metal is not the whole reason the M8 doesn't have Qi charging.
I would say from what we've seen in the back of the Moto 360, which isn't a whole lot, but to me it looks more like either glass or some kind of plastic than metal.
In the center, especially, where the charger would be, yeah.
I mean, I kind of don't care what the back of the 360 is because I'm not going to be looking at that, but you can imagine if they had maybe the metal frame on the outside, the glass front, and maybe, you know, plastic or glass back, maybe that might make things a bit easier for them.
But it's more the engineering and not the metal itself, because you have to work around using metal.
I'm calling it, sticking a fork in it. I think we're done. Actually, Lars had a good question. I'm not done. Lars wanted to know, where can I find all the old Android Central podcasts? The best thing you can do, just go to androidcentral.com/podcast. They are all right there. They should all still be in RSS as well. If you subscribe to the feed, by all means, do that. But they're all there. Every now and then I go back and listen to the very first one that Mickey Papillon and I did. It was horrible. I mean, it wasn't horrible, except it was Mickey, and Mickey's really good. If you don't listen to the Cell Phone Junkie podcast, you should. Mickey's awesome. We miss you, Mickey!
I need to talk to Mickey. I've got some questions that only Mickey can answer.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Yep.
Well, be sure to email us, podcast@androidcentral.com. I'll look in there as I read the rest of this. Follow us on all the things. Twitter, Google+, Instagram. We are playing with Instagram a lot more this week. And by the way, I think we gave away some hats. That should be just about done, I think. Our 1+1 contest is just about done as well. Nobody has to get naked for that one either.
But can we, if we want to?
No.
Oh.
Did you see that video I did when I was kind of ranting about that? It was like,
uh-huh.
I'm just going to give it away. That. I was going to like totally strip in the middle of that. And I think it was cold here in the office. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can call me at 888-468-6158 or just go to shopandroid.com. Use the code AC10 at checkout. You'll get 10% off your whole order. It was awesome. Thanks again to Squarespace. Go follow us on all the things. Download our app. Anything else I need to pimp while we're here? Speak now.
Pretty much covered everything.
Is that all the pimping we have to do this week? Awesome. We will be back next week. Next week will still be Friday. We're good for that. So be back here Friday afternoon, or everybody listening later. Thank you guys, everybody listening live. You're awesome as well. That's it. See ya.
Bye. See you later.
We're closing in on the 200th episode of this podcast, and it struck me Tuesday night that there's a reason why I've opened the show so many times in the same manner with that same build-up. Hey there, everybody. And I'd really never thought about it before, but it just kind of seemed so obvious. Those iconic words that referenced a war in an era that was well before my time, and the man speaking of them was funny and insightful, and you really couldn't wait to hear what he was going to say or do next. The movie, of course, was Good Morning Vietnam, and the man was Robin Williams.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me, or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang.
If you think you might need help, don't be afraid to ask. If you want to help someone who does, please donate your time, your money, or maybe just lend an ear. You can call the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 800-273-8255 or go online to suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
AFBN, rocking you from the Delta to the DMZ.
AFBN, better than AFVD, which means you have to get a quick shot. We're moving on right now.